Joseph's father was the grandson of Abraham. We talked about Abraham last week, how God used Abraham. Mistakes and all. Errors. God gave some revelation through Abraham last week. Well, today, Joseph. And the Bible says that Joseph had a dream. Sometimes we have dreams and then we put them on the back burner because we don't see them being fulfilled. We don't see action taken in those dreams and them progressing. Well, I want to encourage you today through the words I want to give you through the life of Joseph. He had a dream. He had a dream, and it took more than 23 years for that dream to come to light. 23 years. Had Joseph known that from the front? Would Joseph look any different? Sometimes we say, God, how much longer is it going to take? We're in year 8. We're in year 10. We're in year 20. And so God, he tries to establish growth in us to where we have the faith to make it through without having the details. We don't have to have the details. We'd like to have the details. Wouldn't that be nice? Have the instruction manual. We know what date, what's going to happen. This person's going to do that. That's when we can gauge our life around what things that we know. God gives us the things that we need to know as we need to know it. And sometimes we don't need to know it. Sometimes it will scare us to death. And so Joseph had this dream in Genesis chapter 37. We'll read verses 5 to 7 and then jump down to verse 19 and 20. It says in Genesis 37, 5, now Joseph had a dream. He told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So Joseph obviously was already hated by his brothers. He was not liked. His brothers didn't like Joseph. Well, he told him his dream, and the Bible says that they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream, which I've dreamed. Joseph went on. He wanted to elaborate on the details of this dream in verse 7. Where we were binding sheaves in the field, then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. He thought his brothers would be excited. Isn't that great? And they said, yeah, it's real great. And so they weren't as excited as Joseph was. Joseph had this great dream. In verse 19, it said, then the brothers said to one another, look, this dreamer's coming. Come, therefore, let us kill him and cast him into a pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. Can you hear the sarcastic, the hatred, the vindictiveness, the jealousy, the spitefulness? Can you hear all that in that short passage there? Joseph was excited. He did hear from God. The dream that was given to Joseph was from God. There was no question about that. Joseph heard from God, and he was confident that he had heard from God. But took almost 23 years. From that point forward, Joseph told his brothers, one of them on the side, and thought they'd be with him. And from that point forward, it's almost like everything went to push against his dream. Opposition. He faced some opposition. He faced some disappointment. Go back and read the story of Joseph sometime. He was wrongly accused. This woman wanted to get to Joseph, and Joseph said, no way, Jose. And then she said, okay, well, I'll get your goat. And so she did. So he was wrongly accused. He was betrayed. He found himself lonely. He was taken advantage of. You name it, Joseph faced it. Joseph faced all this stuff. All because he knew that God had put a dream in his heart, and he wanted to see it fulfilled. Maybe some of you can relate to this today, and that's why I was prompted, I believe, to bring this today. Some of you can relate to having a dream and feeling like it's postponed or it's being denied. But I want to encourage you through God's word today. Number one, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Not everybody's going to be excited about what's in your heart, especially if you've heard from God. Guarding your heart. Is that biblical? Absolutely, it's biblical. It's biblical to guard your heart. We should be an open book to God. He knows everything anyway. I mean, honestly, he knows everything anyway, so why not go ahead and be an open book to God? Give him your feelings. Give him your questions. Give him your ideas. Let God speak to you. But guard your heart. Guard your heart from the ones that want to come in and discourage you and to pull away from. And God will put people around you. See, your dream resides in your heart. The thing that God's speaking to you, he speaks to us in our heart. And so as we have those things in our heart and God grows those in us, if we just dispose of those things and just throw them around like there's no worth to them, then before we know it, we're able to listen to other people's ideas about your dream and what's in your heart. Well, I thought I heard from God. Then you begin to question if you've heard from God, and if you have, why would God say this? Why would God do this? And so you become discouraged because of you giving the dreams of your heart that God has placed there and putting it before just anyone. Jesus was careful about who he disclosed his heart to. He was careful. He didn't tell everybody what he told that small group. He shared on a different level because he was guarding his heart. He was guarding what God, his Father, was speaking to him and doing in his life. Jesus was able to guard his heart. Who is the source of your dream? The Bible says as we delight in him, he fulfills the desires of the dreams of our heart. As we delight in him. And so the closer we get to God, the more God's going to speak to you because he created you. He put you here for many purposes. And he wants to fulfill those things in your life. So as we draw close to God, he will fill our hearts with those dreams. God's not satisfied with us just going to work 8 to 5 and sitting at home. Going to work 8 to 5, sitting at home. There's more that God wants to do in your life. It may require going to work 8 to 5, but there could be somebody there that their life will be changed through the actions and through the words that you speak. And unless we're listening to God and knowing what God is speaking to us, we can't very well let that flow through us. And so God wants to do things through our lives. God is not boring. God is not boring. And he takes events and he can turn them into miracles to cause us to see him in a different light. So our dreams, as we're close to him, as we follow him, as we seek him, as we serve God, he will fulfill those dreams in our heart. He's our source. He's our source. God was the source of Jesus' dreams. God was the source of Joseph's dreams. And so Joseph could have saved himself a lot of heartache had he guarded his heart, had he guarded his dream. Now I'm glad he didn't, because now we can relate to Joseph, right? You know, okay, so Joseph wasn't a perfect man. Abraham wasn't a perfect man. We've seen all these that were imperfect. Thank God that these were live and in color men that were ordinary people just like us, and God still built greatness in their life. Well, he wrote about these things so that we can also learn from these things, which is what we're doing today. Proverbs 4:23, King Solomon said this in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence. All diligence. For out of it, out of your heart, spring issues of life. So the very things that will bring life to you, very things that God will use to develop in you, will begin in your heart. And as we're close to God, God puts those things in our life. And many times it will scare you because it's going to be bigger than what you're able to comprehend. So he'll give us little chips, little hints, little things to build in our heart. And as we guard those things, now, God will send some people just like Jesus surrounded himself with certain people that loved him and was for him. God will send people in your life to where you can also. God wants you to communicate with him, but he'll also send you a tight-knit group, not a clique. It's the first thing I thought of, clique. No, it's not a clique. God will send you people that are for you, that will speak life in you, that will encourage you. And in that, you're able to share maybe portions of what God's doing in your life. And out of that, you can be encouraged. You still be careful. It doesn't eliminate what he's saying here. Keep your heart, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it spring the issues of life. So this afternoon when I get home, this evening sometime, I will, I was a little earlier this week, I will put our garbage in the garbage can and I'll put it out by the side of the road, and then Monday morning they pick up that garbage. Now, I'm going to leave that garbage by the road unguarded. Why? Because it's garbage. It's stuff that we've already used, and the paper and the plastic and whatever else that's in that can is there, and I'm not going to call security and say, will you guard my garbage until they get there Monday morning, because I want to be careful that nobody takes my garbage except for the people that need my garbage. Why? Because it's worthless. So we'll see our heart is not that way. We don't just toss around the things that God's in our heart, toss around like, and we just leave it out there unguarded. God, what is in our heart is worth something. It's valuable. What's in that trash can right now? And I was a little early getting it out there. Yay. Because they'll be there at 6 in the morning getting that can. And 9 times out of 10, I wind up missing it. I'm out there rolling it, and they're waving. But it's out there. So we're going to be trashless now for a few days. But we have to guard our heart because there's value there. What God is putting in you is very valuable for today and for times to come. There's some of you that's wanting a word from God, and God's saying, I'm trying to give you that word. Many times God will give you a word and give you something of value before you need it. And so that's a good part about dwelling on the Word of God and reading and praying every single day, because God will give me things in advance when I need it. I think, wow, God, did you know this was going to happen today? He said, duh, yeah, I knew it. That's why I gave it to you 3 days ago. So he wants to prepare our hearts. He wants to prepare us, and we need to take value in what he's doing. God is putting very valuable things in your life, even right now as we speak. Why? Because he wants you to be great in him. He wants you to not only get through the obstacles, he wants you to overcome the obstacles. To where you look back and say, God, that had to be you. I could not have made it without you through what I've just faced. The dictionary defines guard as to watch over in order to protect, or to protect against damage or harm. That's what we're to do with our heart. That's what we're to do with the greatness that God is building in our life. How do we guard our heart? Just so happens there's a scripture in the Bible, Philippians 4:7, tells us how to guard our heart. It says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mine through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. How do we obtain the peace of God? We obtain the peace of God by staying close to him. God is not nervous today. You're facing some situations, some of you, that are impossible. You've got family that needs a miracle right now. We've got friends that need a miracle right now. Jessup, Dublin, we've got people that we know need a miracle right now. But the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart. Even in the middle of God, please intervene. Beyond our ability to do anything, the peace of God will intervene. Whatever you're facing, the peace of God will cause us to guard our hearts. Not to be anxious about anything. That doesn't mean that we don't care. Oh, just let it happen. It's not a non-caring attitude. It's a caring attitude, but it's allowing God to take control and to bring about his answer in the situation. We don't have the answers, do we? But God does. Having peace of God in our heart that will rule our heart, that's how we guard our heart. Number two, recognize God's favor. I'm going to stay here for just a minute. Recognize God's favor. The favor that Joseph had from his father, Joseph didn't do anything to earn that favor, except that Joseph loved his father. Joseph honored and loved his father. And so Jacob's father had great favor upon him. Did you know, do you recognize the favor on your life from God right now? The favor of God is on your life right now. Think about the things that he's doing in your life. Think about the things that he's brought you through, where you could have been in a different situation, backed up in a corner somewhere. Look at the things that God is doing that you even know about, much less the things that you don't know about. Recognize God's favor on your life. Recognize God's favor on your life. God chooses to love you. God chooses to favor you. Why? Because you're his. And so we can draw close to God by, God, I love you, and I am for you because of your love and your favor upon my life. That should draw us even closer to him. But many times what that does is creates jealousy and tension around you. So the favor of God can be so real and so evident in your life that it could create tension and jealousy around you. So do we apologize? God, I thank you for your favor, but I'm going to have to downplay this a little bit because you're too good to me, and I can't tell people how good. But you are, because they're going to be jealous. We shouldn't apologize for the favor on our life. It's not about us anyway. Remember, I started this by saying it's all about God. It's about Him doing what He's doing through your life. And once we realize that and we don't take the credit for it and we say, God, this is you. There's another truckload of blessing. God, this is you. Another, God, where's all that coming from? God, this is you. This is you. This is you. He wants us to recognize, and because we don't have the ability to create the favor in our life, that the blessings, the favor, we don't have the ability to do any of that. Not a fraction. Not for a half a second. It's God. And when we recognize the favor of God in our life and we love Him and draw even closer to Him, He says, you know what? You love me so much. Here's some more. Take that. That's how big God is. And did you know that maybe God reconciles his bank statement? I don't know. He doesn't have to, though. He doesn't have to. He owns it all. The dirt, the hill, the cow, the sun, the moon, the stars. He doesn't have a short supply of anything. And his children, by loving him and following him and recognizing him and recognize where the favor of God comes from, he says, you know what? Here's a coat of many colors. I'm just going to give you some more. That's the favor that Joseph experienced. It came from his father, but it created some jealousy and some tension. Now, that's probably a totally another topic for another day. We've just got to recognize that the favor is from God. Recognize God's favor. We can walk in humility, even in God's favor. We must walk in humility, because it comes from God. The moment, you know where the Bible says pride comes before a fall? That's the last place we want to go. And the best way to do that is to stay humble before God and say, God, this is you. You're way up here and I'm way down here. Not He doesn't see it that way, but sometimes we need to see it that way. And that He is over everything in our life. So Joseph didn't do anything. We can't do anything to earn God's favor except to love Him, just like Joseph loved his father. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. This is so good. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I'm telling you, that one passage right there, we could live the rest of our life right there. Not of ourselves. Gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Wow. There's power in God's favor and recognizing God's favor. Because in God's favor, when you know that you're God's favorite, when I know that I'm God's favorite, well, how can we be God's favorite? We are. We're all God's favorite. God favors us, and we're His favorite. You're His favorite. So we're all God's favorite. And so in that favor, when we know that God loves us so much that He's bestowing on us His blessing, does that mean the problems go away? No, that doesn't mean the problems go away. We'll see that in just a moment. The problems don't go away. But even in the midst of the problems not going away, we know that His favor is on our life. And we know that He will do whatever He must do, needs to do, to bring us successful through whatever opposition that we face. Somebody said not long ago, they said, you know what? I feel so much more confident today than I did X number of years ago. And they said that to me, and I said, well, tell me why. Why do you feel more confident? And this person said, well, because I have learned who I am in God. I feel His love more today than what I felt it then. And it's not that God's love wasn't as real then as it is today, but there's been a realization, there's been a recognition of God's favor, and the confidence of God now is in that person, not that anything has changed, except that they know that God's favor is on their life. And so that brings a confidence. What does confidence do for you? I know confidence in the physical realm has a little different effect, but I'm talking about internally, spiritually. Faith. So when we know that God's favor is upon us, and when we face an obstacle, whether it's sickness, whether it's something beyond our control, whether it's something that some people that don't know Christ have to decide for us and for our families, there's a confidence that we can stand in, and knowing that God's favor is on our life, that there's a confidence there that we can say, we can release it. We don't have to worry about sweating it or being anxious for it, because we know he's going to take care of the details. There's been some things just in the last couple of weeks with some of you that God has worked out, and he's worked it out in such a peaceful, it's big things too, huge, big. And it's worked out in your heart before it ever happened because you had a confidence in God knowing that he was going to take care of it. It just changes your life. Recognizing God's favor. It's there. Even though Joseph faced the things I said before, opposition, disappointment, wrongly accused, betrayal, loneliness, all these things, taking advantage of God, God's favor was on Joseph, and Joseph recognized God's favor. What else pushed Joseph to continue on? He didn't have a cheerleading team. He didn't have anybody that would say, come on, Joseph, come on, Joseph. He didn't have that. He just had to pick his bootstraps up and say, come on, boy, we're going again. Get out of this pit. We're going. So recognize God's favor. Number three, are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, good. I'm glad you don't have it up there. Expect surprises. Expect surprises. Surprises will come. Surprise! We were talking to Kendra's birthday was just a few days ago, and we called Kendra on her birthday and wished her happy birthday. And I forget what we were talking about. She said, we were talking about, because Crystal and I had been through COVID a couple of weeks ago. We made it through COVID. And so Kendra, very lovingly, she said, well, are y'all doing okay? You're feeling okay? We were praying for y'all, and yeah, maybe we're fine, and thank you for your prayer and your concern and all that. And Silas, he was diagnosed with what did I just say? COVID sometime last year. And so I think even Josh and Kendra had symptoms of COVID a few months ago. Well, they were all outside playing because they wanted to get some sunshine and things like that. So they were out in the yard, and Silas, this lady was walking by, and he said, just so you know, we have COVID. Well, didn't have to worry about the neighbors coming over. Expect surprises. Some surprises are better than others. You could just see the cars turning around and going the other way, you know. Oh, man. I love those grandchildren. They teach me so much. Expect surprises. It's not living in fear. It's not that, oh, my Lord, what's about to happen? That's not what I'm talking about. Expect surprises means that God is going to do something different in your world, and embrace that. Say, God, whatever you want to do. It's not living in fear. It's not preparing for the worst case scenario. We like to do that, don't we? Well, worst case scenario is this. So I'm going to go ahead and prepare for that. What's the worst case scenario? Okay, I can see you writing it down. That's worst case, underlined twice. So it's going to be, that's the worst it can get. Okay, I'm going to prepare myself for that. No, see, God wants us to expect surprises, just like Joseph. Joseph was in a pit. That was not a good surprise. But that pit could have very well saved his life. Sometimes God puts us in a holding pattern just to keep us out of harm's way. And we're in the pit, and we're complaining about the pit. And we should say, thank you, God, that obviously you've got a plan for this, and you're going to see me through this some way. Expect some surprises. He faced some surprises. Here are a few. He was sold into slavery by his family. That's not a good surprise. He was forced to live in a strange country far from home. He was put into prison. That's when he was wrongly accused. He was put into prison. But then Joseph became the second in command in Egypt. That was a surprise. That was bigger than his dream. And so all these little surprises along the way, as best I can tell, there's about twice as many surprises for discouragement in Joseph's life as there was for discouragement. So he faced about twice as many more as he had to say, God, I need you to pull me through this thing. I'm relying on you. I recognize your favor in my life. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13 says it this way. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice. Don't that excite you? But rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Do you want to be happy? Go through a fiery trial. Don't think it strange. Why? Because we find out just how big God is. Even in surprises. God, you still have me. I did not see that coming, but God, you still had me. God, I don't like the details of this thing, but you still had me. God, I don't like this sickness, but you pulled me through. You still had me. God, I'm fighting cancer, but thank God I look back now and you had me. See, God will bring you through any surprise that you think is beyond your ability to face. God is awesome. His favor is upon you, and he will bring you through. God will do it. Exceeding joy is what said 1 Peter 4:13. We know what Romans 8:28 says. All things work together for good to those who have already said love God and called according to his purpose. I don't know how many years ago it was. I thought about this many years ago. I wanted a full-size pickup truck. So we went and shopped around and found me a Chevrolet pickup truck in Jacksonville. It was brown. It was beautiful. Velour, gold interior. And got the chrome rails. You know how you had the rails going from the first hole of the bed, came down, went to the second hole of the bed. And so it was on both sides. It was chrome rails. I mean, it was a beautiful Chevrolet truck. Love that thing. Well, had a meeting in Jacksonville one day, and so I hadn't had it long. It probably didn't have 1,000 miles on the truck. And went down to a meeting down there, was coming back, and lo and behold, I got behind this traffic on 95. This guy was carrying a mattress in front of me, and I was about to pass him when the wind caught that mattress. I could see it now. Flipped it up in the air, and the corner of that thing went right in the front of that grill of that truck. And I said, "You are kidding me." I said, "Well, at least that takes care of the first scratch." You know. And so I pulled over, and he pulled over, and we worked out the details and all that stuff. Come to find out, just a few miles ahead, there had been a several car pileup incident that God saved me from. He really does make all things work together for good. And so when I found that out, I said, "Thank you, God." This was Joseph's response to a discouraging surprise in Genesis 50, verses 20 and 21. "But as for you, you meant evil against me." Joseph recognized that all those fighting against him, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That was Joseph's response to a discouraging surprise. "In order to bring it about, as it is this day to save many people alive, now therefore do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." This is a huge response to a discouraging surprise. It's the same response we should have. Expect surprises. Number four, lastly, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. God has not failed you yet. He's not going to fail you. Don't give up. We must trust God in knowing that he's doing something bigger and greater than us. 2 years in prison for Joseph. He didn't give up. I mean, 2 days, that's one thing. 2 years? And wrongly accused of that? He didn't give up. 23 years of hoping and looking for this dream to develop, he didn't give up. That's a long time. Don't give up. If we give up, then we have taken ourselves out of the equation. Say, "Well, God, you haven't done it yet, so you must not love me enough if you don't want to do it." Don't give up. You've come too far to turn back now. As I said last week, God is not preparing your answer. He's preparing you for the answer. He's not trying to put together the answer for your life and saying, "Okay, give me another minute. I've got some chips coming in and they're on back order." No. He's got it together. Your name's on it. Real nice gold plate. Your name's on your blessing, your promise. He's preparing you to receive the promise. The answer's already ready. In the Living Bible, which I I don't read a whole lot out of, but this says it very plainly in Habakkuk 2, verse 3. You should have it there. These things I plan. Won't happen right away. Put that on your refrigerator. Just to remind you, they're not going to happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair. For these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. Well, that's not exactly the way it says it. But they will not be overdue a single day, it says. God, the creator of the universe, the one who made you, He's going to bring the promise into your life. It's not happening right away. Slowly, steadily. That's the way growth happens, doesn't it? That's the way growth happens. I know we had a whole bunch of watermelon seed many years ago. We threw them out, and I looked for the watermelons to pop up any time. It was slowly and steadily, but surely watermelons popped up. They were there. When I least expected it, I walked out there, and there were the cutest little watermelons popping up out of the ground like that. I said, man, is that a watermelon or an oversized hot dog? I wasn't sure. But God loves you. He favors you. And He's got His best for you. See, this narrow way to heaven, we try to speed through it. God, give me your blessing just as quick as you can. I don't want any problems. I don't want any heartache. And that's our human way of thinking. That's not something that we've all thought the same way. But in this path to heaven, in this path called life, that we're all headed to the same place, we're all, as we serve God, as we're children of God, headed to the same place, God brings these things in our life, and we want to speed through it. And sometimes we miss the growth. Sometimes we miss the slowly, steadily growing, the process of growing, so that there's going to be somebody in your life that has faced the same thing that you're facing right now. And they're going to need somebody to encourage them. And you could very well be the person to encourage them. Galatians 6:9 says this: let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if, there's that big two-letter word, if we do not lose heart. Don't grow weary while doing good. Don't give up. Don't give up. See, the speed of the completion of your dream is not what's important. How fast can I get it done? How fast? It's not about speed. It's about God building character in us so that we're strong. We're able to face opposition in strength and in power the same way that He did. That's what He's trying to build in us. He's trying to build His character, and the only way to do that is through opposition in the things that we face from day to day. Don't give up. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says this: in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so by not giving up, we're able to achieve what God wants us to achieve. You can do what God has put in you to do. The promise that God has put in your life, He wants you to fulfill it. And He gives you everything that you need to push through to do that. Joseph fulfilled his dream in Genesis 41:38. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, speaking of Joseph, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? See, people will seek you out for you to pray for them because they know that you love God. You say, well, why? Did somebody tell them that I prayed for them? No, you don't have to tell anybody. They will seek you out to pray for them because they know that you love God. They can see your countenance by the way that you deal with problems in your life. And they say, how can you deal with that? I need you to pray for me. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there's no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. That was the fulfillment of Joseph's dream. It exceeded Joseph's dream. That was even bigger than what Joseph dreamed. That's what God's doing in your life. That's what God is building in our life. Even now, 2 weeks from October of 2021, God is building that in you. There are bigger things to come. There are greater things to come. God is doing more things. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on around us, but don't be distracted by the things that are not of God. Only stay focused on what God is doing. He's doing things on purpose right now for His purpose, and He wants you part of that. You play a key part. Your part in God's kingdom is much like the corner post of this building. Now, God can find a way to put a plan B in there. God can do that. But that place has your name on it. There's a purpose for your life. There's a calling for your life that no one can do like you can do. And I don't want you to be discouraged today just because you're facing things that are beyond you. The dream in your life, you need to refire that. You need to get in the Word of God and be reminded of what God has promised you maybe many years ago. And if you haven't had a dream, say, God, I'm ready to see my dream from you. And He'll show that to you. It's going to be bigger than you. And when it happens, it's going to be bigger than that. That's just the way God does. I want to encourage you today. There are greater things to come. And God is building in each one of us our place in the kingdom of God. Don't worry about the circumstances right now. Don't worry about the things that are beyond your control. Because there are some things beyond your control. There are things beyond my control. If I could help you and if I could fix it, I would. I can't. But it's not beyond God's control. He can do anything. There's nothing bigger than God. We've got to focus on Him. Crawford, y'all come on up. I believe it's a matter of guarding our heart. Guarding our heart from the things that would try to take our eyes off of God. Guard our heart that we may know. See, the Bible says to hide His word in our heart that we might not sin against Him. Hide His word in our heart. That's the guarding of our heart. That's taking the word of God, putting it in our heart, and guarding it. It's valuable. What God's doing in your life is valuable. Guard your heart. Recognize God's favor. God's favor is upon you. God's favor is upon His children. God's favor is upon those who seek Him. Recognize God's favor. Expect surprises, not in fear, not in anxiousness, not in lying awake at night worrying with one eye open, when is it going to come through the window? Expect surprises. God, I'm excited that if I face anything bigger than what I'm able to face, God, You're with me. And He is with you. He said He's not going to leave you. The only way that we're apart from God is if we walk from God, walk away from Him. God is with us. And don't give up. Press in. Press in. Don't give up. You could be just at the edge of your answer coming forth. Don't give up. Now is not the time to give up. Let's stand together this morning.